going to read Matthew chapter 6. Someone who doesn't normally speak. Someone, come on, who doesn't normally speak? Is that breakfast?
I haven't started yet. I'm not boring yet. Matthew 6:25-34.
Who's going to read that? Someone who doesn't normally do it.
Do
you want to do it? Go on then.
Matthew,
25 to 34. Thank you.
Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Don't worry. We're made in the image of God, aren't we?
Yes.
God made us to worry. It's part of us, isn't it? It's part of our nature. It's a natural reaction, isn't it? To trouble. Who's a worrier then? Are you? If you've got to write it down, is that big enough for you? Are you one of these worriers? No? You're sort of this size worrier.
Bigger?
Two size. No, maybe you need this then. Is that big enough? You're that sort of a worrier. We're all different, aren't we? We might be that much of a worrier, or that much of a worrier, or something in between. But it is a natural reaction to trouble. The trouble is, we also make it a worry about the future. Future problems. Or possible future problems. Or things that might possibly happen in the future, if possibly might happen. Or things that might not happen, but they could happen. Maybe if it didn't happen, you know, but they might happen, but we should still worry about that. And if we haven't got anything to worry about, we're worried because there's nothing to worry about. And what's going to go wrong? Because there's nothing going wrong in our lives, so we must worry. It can be a natural reaction, can't it, to worry. Worry is derived from an old German, family knows. An old Germanic word. Wurgen, to choke. Mental strangulation. When we worry, it can choke us up, can't it? It can strangle us.
take the life out of us. We can lose sleep. We can wake up in a panic. We're distracted during the day. These are all symptoms and signs of worry. But what's Jesus talking about here? So he's saying, I don't want you to be yourself. I don't want you to be natural.
If you look at verse 25,
he says, therefore. When he says therefore, we always have to look a little bit before that, don't we? So he's saying, because of what I've just said, therefore.
And he's talking, before there, just briefly, he's talking about no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I've got the Amplified here. It says, that is, deceitful riches, money, possessions, or what is trusted in. I think this is at the heart of what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about ordinary, everyday concerns that we have. If I hear Carol's ill, I'm concerned. Yeah. We're concerned about each other. When our children are sick, we're concerned. I'm worried. But Jesus is talking here about who we're trusting in. What we're striving for. What keeps us awake at night? Is it that gizmo that you want? Or is it the gizmo with knobs on it? Or the double gizmo? No, not the double gizmo with swirly bits on it. Or maybe it's that job you want. Are we worried about our future? How are we going to live?
I came across a quote. It says, worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. The Jews had a saying as well. They said, he who has a loaf in his basket and says, what shall I eat tomorrow, is a man of little faith. Similar to what Jesus was talking about. So when Jesus started speaking about don't worry, they knew where we were coming from. They were on his page. Let's just see what Jesus says. Because I suppose we should say this right at the beginning. Ultimately, if we're worried, we're not trusting in God. It's harsh, but ultimately, if we're worried about something, we're not trusting in God, and ultimately that is sinful, isn't it? And some of these sayings in this section of the Bible, they can seem, on the face of it, quite harsh. But when you start to look where Jesus is coming from, like I said earlier, he's actually talking about who is it we're serving, who are we trusting in. Okay, so let's have a look at verse 25. I tell you, stop being anxious. What you're going to eat or what you drink? About your body, what you're going to put on it? Is not life greater than food and the body more than clothing? What's the hardest thing God could ever do for us? Save us. Save us from our sin, isn't it? We were lost. We were in our sin. We were going to a lost eternity. And the Father sent his Son to die for us. And we worry about what we're going to eat or drink. But the Father has done the hardest thing. He's brought us from a kingdom of darkness, a place of being lost with no hope. And he's brought us into his family. And what when someone's in your family, what do? You love them. You love your family, don't you? Yeah. You love them. You care for them.
Even when they were paid.
You do. You love them and care for them.
And Jesus is saying, life's greater than just stuff. What you're going to wear and your food. And then he says, look at the birds in verse 26. They live a simple life. They don't store it up for tomorrow. But they work hard, don't they? I don't think Jesus is saying it's a breeze. They work hard. Those little eggs, searching out. Working hard. A day at a time. Living a day at a time. Getting the worms. Getting what they need. Coming back. Feeding their young. Not lazy life. Because ultimately, like he says in the next verse, which of you can, by worrying and being anxious, can add a unit of measure to his stature for the span of his life? Ultimately, it's pointless, isn't it? It's all pointless. Worry is completely futile. You can't change the past, but you can ruin a perfectly good present by worrying about the future. That's a great quote, isn't it? You can't change the past, but you can ruin today by worrying about tomorrow. And that's, I like this word, Bergen, to choke, to strangle. It takes the life out of us, doesn't it? If we're worried about things. It can be harmful to our health. It can give us ulcers, heart attacks, lack of sleep. When you don't sleep, lack of concentration. When you're driving, accidents happen. It's a huge issue, isn't it, in our society? And Jesus goes on to talk about the lilies of the field. I mean, he's full of these examples about the birds and the lilies of the field. You know, they're clothed. You know, don't worry, don't worry. And he said, I mean, in Palestine, they used to get all the grass and the lilies and the flowers, and he used to put them in the clay ovens and get the oven going inside. Put the oven on the bricks, and if the oven wasn't going, they'd get the old grass, chuck it in the oven, it'd be gone, like that. But you get the temperature up in the oven, here today, gone tomorrow. The great analogies that Jesus is making between things that in creation are glorious, but he's saying we are worth far, far much more than that. Why are we? Why do you worry, you're saying? Why? If God is clothing them, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith, he says. He said that before, hasn't he? When did he say that? Ooh, when they were in the boat, when they were asleep, they were fearful. You of little faith. Do you know, there might be greater sins, although sin is sin, I know that. There might be greater sins than worry, but there's not many so debilitating, is there? They can literally strangle us, strangle the life out of us. And then he says worry is a characteristic of the pagans. In verse 32. The Gentiles wish for and crave and diligently seek after all these other things. It's basically a lack of trust in God. We need a little interlude here. Have you got that, Mike? Is it? Just want to try that. We'll have a little interlude.
We prepared this earlier.
Give it a try, see if it works. If not,
we prepared this earlier. Huh?
Come on, you got to get into this. Should have got this on the screen. You can watch it as well, look. Don't worry. I don't think Jesus is talking about that. That's what the pagans do. Saying that's what the heathen do. That's what the unbelievers do. That's how they live their life. What do you see if you meet people? They go, oh, don't worry, you can't change it. Live and let live. It'll be what it'll be. Que sera, sera. Keep your fingers crossed. Nothing you can do about it. Don't worry. Be happy. That's the heathen. That's those that don't believe in God. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, it's not ordinary and prudent and genuine concern and love and care that he's talking about, and that worry can come out of that. It's not saying, oh, just be reckless, just be flippant, just be thoughtless, have a thoughtless, careful attitude. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about not trusting in God. So what's the answer? Come on, I've had enough of that. What's the answer? The answer is, pull yourself together. Oh, that's what you say in counselling, isn't it? Sorry.
No,
you don't say that. Oh, you haven't got there yet? Sorry. You don't? Oh, right. Okay. Okay. Jesus says in verse 33, he says, but seek first of all his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all of these things taken together will be yours besides. So don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own. Seek first of all his kingdom and his righteousness. Isaiah 26 verse 3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. The Amplified says, because he leans on you. It's hard sometimes. I'm sure most of you have had difficult situations in your life. Some life-threatening situations in your lives. Our young son Mark thought he was going to die. He wanted to be baptised. When we got to the hospital after 12 hours, I got called back. I passed out. But John was there, so he dragged me out. I was worried. But in the midst of worry, it took it was 12 weeks. Backwards and forwards to Oxford. Oh, never knowing what the day would bring, never mind about tomorrow. Will it ever end? In a ward with children who have been there for 9 months, a year? Get him home, 6 weeks, he's bad again. Has another operation. Oh. And even if this is successful, might be maybe in 2 or 3 years he'll need another one. Oh, worry. We have to learn, I'm sure many of you have learned, have to learn to live a day. This is literally an example of how you live a day at a time. You have to live for that, what is happening now, and commit it to God. We had to lean on God because it was so desperate. We had to commit our son to God and be praying. I knew others were praying. And that's practically how we need to deal with worry. commit it to God and trust in God, not by going, oh, I'll be happy, you'll be okay, but actively leaning on God and trusting in Him. Because sometimes you can't change the situation you're in. You can't change it. It's there. You have to deal with it. It's a prayer. And literally looking to God every day. And not getting too far ahead of yourself. I'm sure many of you have faced that. But when it's a big issue like that, it sometimes seems easier to do that. It's perhaps the smaller things that we can worry about, isn't it? That's the secret, isn't it? Trying to lean on God and trust Him for everything. The big things, I say, sometimes they can be easier. Depends what sort of worry you are. I have to say, I don't tend to worry a lot. It's just how I am. Some people think I'll fall over if I go more laid back. But, you know, it's just how we are. But whatever our character, our nature, it's about leaning on God. So commit our situation to God in prayer. Another practical way is to share our worries with someone else. I got a phone call 12 hours after Amart was born. First thing I did was pick the phone up to John. He came down the hospital with me. I needed somebody with me. Share the burden. Sharing our burdens with one another. And this is one we don't do enough. Confessing the word of God in our lives. Declaring the truth. We sang about it this morning. We are more than conquerors, but we don't often believe it. But that isn't in there, is it? We didn't sing that bit, did we?
We did.
No, we don't. We didn't. We are more than conquerors through Christ, but we don't actually believe it. We missed that bit out.
The amplified chorus.
Don't always believe that. The devil is a liar. God's word is truth. And we have to learn to speak out God's word. That's what we were praying this morning. God's word is truth. And this is a fantastic book by Colin Urquhart. He's a bit old now, but the older ones among you would know. I'm sure the Manor House would stock it.
They could get it for you.
They'd get it very cheaply. It was £2.50. I've read this. You know, dipping in. It's the truth of God's word in situations.
What's it called?
In Christ Jesus. It's just a book, you know, it's got scripture. It's just pure scripture with Colin Urquhart. Sorry. Obviously in the Bible, but it's a practical way of being able to get hold of something and being able to speak and confess the word of God into our lives. We are more than conquerors through Christ. We can confess that each day. I am healed by the blood of Jesus. We can confess the word of God each day. What are we filling our minds with? Are we listening to the lies of the enemy? Or are we listening to the word of God, the truth? We do need to live in the power of our new life and not go back to the old life. The old nature is to worry. The new nature is to lean on God and to trust in God. To not allow that old life to get back and start to rule us. Seeking first His kingdom. In other words, Dan was reading earlier, seeking God's will and purpose. Let's be focused on His purposes and His will for our life. Yeah, we've got to work out our job. We've got to sort out what car we need. We go on holiday. We've got to sort it all out. We've got to deal with all that stuff. But who are we trusting in, isn't it? It's when we get, when it gets the wrong way, when the perspective gets wrong. It's about putting our trust in Him and putting Him first. What is the focus of our energies? Nothing wrong with having money to be able to go and get something. It's the attitude. Jesus is always speaking about an attitude of heart, isn't he? He's not worried about the external stuff. It's always about our, the attitude. What is in our spirit, in our heart? What is our motivation? What are we doing with what he's given us? That new life, that new hope. Peter and Paul knew all about worry, didn't they? Because Peter, he speaks about casting all your anxiety on him. Why? Because he cares for you, he said. Cast all of your anxiety, not some of it, all of it, because he cares for you. This is the practical at working. Something comes into our head, starts to worry us. Commit it to God. Cast our care on him. Speak God's truth into it. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, present your requests to God, says Paul in Philippians 4. And, he goes on to say, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding. And it will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's what it's, that's the battle we're in, isn't it? It's a spiritual battle we're in. Guarding our hearts and minds. About from the attitudes of the day, of the world in which we live. Anxiety is everywhere, isn't it? Look at America. How worried they are in America. That Donald Trump. Look how worried we are here about Brexit. Or not Brexit. Or are we going to have Brexit? Or, oh, who knows? Everybody's worried. That's because you're happy. There's anxiety everywhere, isn't there? But yeah, we're called to live above that. We're called to live trusting in a heavenly Father that clothes the birds, that feeds the birds, that clothes the lilies of the field. Feeding on God's word. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. We refute arguments and theories, and we lead every thought and purpose captive into obedience to Christ. When fear or anxiety, worry, whatever it is, comes to us, cast it on him. There's no shortage of truth in here, is there? There's no shortage of truth. God will supply all our needs. I mean, you know, you can go on forever. Philippians 4:19. God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. A bit more technology. Talk amongst yourselves. I'm impressed about the technology bit this morning,
aren't
you? Yeah. You will be if I can get it. See ya. No, I'm here. This is a little story I came across. And I'm going to close with this. This was a German mystic. I went to Germany this morning. What's going on? One day,
guy who's telling the story. He says, he met a beggar. God give you a good day, my friend, he said. And the beggar answered, I thank God that I've never had a bad one. Then the visitor said, God give you a happy life, my friend. To which he replied in amazement and said, what do you mean? Well, said the beggar, when it is fine, I thank God when it rains. I thank God, inviting technology here. I thank God when I have plenty. I thank God when I'm hungry. I thank God. And since God's will, and whatever pleases him, pleases me, why should I be unhappy when I am not? The visitor looked at the man in astonishment. He said, who are you? I am a king, said the beggar. Where is your kingdom? Said the visitor. And the beggar answered quietly, it is in my heart. And that's the battle we have. The battle for our hearts and minds as believers, putting God's word at the centre of our lives and rejecting the lies of the enemy, as we've been singing this morning, and believing that we are more than conquerors. Not just here on a Sunday, but tomorrow morning when you get a phone call and the bank manager says, you're running out of money, and you start to work. You know, practical situations. God's word is practical. It's for living by. It's not to say it's easy. Jesus never said it was easy. I'm not saying it's easy. And we do worry, and we are anxious sometimes, but God is faithful. He's faithful. And we can come to him as our Heavenly Father and talk it over with him. It's in my heart, the kingdom of God. The secret to not worrying is to put first God in our lives and his purposes and his kingdom.
So my question is this: have you heard the word of God this morning? From what Dave's talking about there, not necessarily as a group, but have you heard the word of God this morning? Because God speaks to us all, doesn't he, on an individual basis. He speaks to us as one, but he speaks to each and every person's heart, doesn't he? So that's my question. Has God spoken to you this morning? And if he has, and I believe he has, he's spoken to me through that, what's our responsibility? We have a responsibility, surely. If God illuminates something or speaks to us, we have a responsibility, don't we, to listen and to respond to that and to think on that and to go to God and to seek him about that. You know, what Dave explained, it was quite a simple thing, really, that I've heard before, but it doesn't matter. I need to hear that. I need to keep hearing that. So, Lord, we thank you for your word to us. I thank you that you speak to every one of us. Well, I thank you've spoken to me. I believe that you've spoken to all of us in some way, shape or form. And Lord, I acknowledge that I have a responsibility. We have, as people, responsibility to listen to you, to come back to you, to speak to you, to respond to you. Lord, about worry, Lord, we have a choice. Sometimes that choice is difficult, but Lord, I come to you right now and I say that I am going to choose, Lord, to take every worry that I have, Lord, to you. Even though I'm fearful, even though I can't work it out, I'm going to choose, Lord, to bring that to you. And that's the encouragement this morning, wasn't it? To take everything that is a burden, every worry to God. So just take a moment and just think, okay, what was God saying to me this morning in that? What was God speaking to me about? What was the thing that God put his finger on? What was the first thing that comes to your mind, that comes out of your heart? And normally that's the thing that God is talking to you about. So I just want you to take a moment just to open your heart and mind to the Holy Spirit and let him illuminate those things.